Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We are delighted to be able to do our first Thursday of the month World Peace Meditation together. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and it's Thursday, February 6, 2025. Wow. This is, we've been doing this since 2011. Actually, the third Thursday, the first Thursday we started in, I think, 2020, at the end of 2020. But yeah, it's great to see you all joining us, and delighted to be able to go ahead and jump on this call. People are still coming in. And so for those of you who are not familiar with the format, this is only at the maximum of 1 hour long, and it's focused mainly on a more meditative approach. We do have a third Thursday that is for only for members of the World Peace Diet Circle, and we get into anything and everything there, but this is more meditative, and it's really open to anyone who would like to join us. So thank you for taking the time out of what I know are very busy schedules. I hope you can hear me okay. Madeline and I are in Florida, and we're at Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach. And right now, at the moment, we're up in Orlando area in Umatilla, the home of my sister Laura, just for one night, maybe two, because we had to come up here for an appointment we had for Madeline having some dental work done. So we drove up last night after the lecture that I gave at Hippocrates, and we're here in up here. It's about 3 hours north. And I just had a beautiful swim a couple hours ago in Wakiva Springs. If anyone knows Wakiva Springs, it's in the state park, but they have a really amazing spring. The water comes out of the ground at millions of gallons per day, crystal clear water, and it's fun to dive down into the spring where the water's coming out of a cave under the water. but it's been a beautiful day. And we have one more week left in our time at Hippocrates. We'll be leaving there in a week, and then we'll be in Florida for about a month more, doing some events around Florida, and then heading back on the southern route, going through South Carolina and Louisiana, Texas, and Arizona and Southern California, and then heading back north by mid-April. So this is our World Peace Way tour we're on, 5-month tour, spreading the vegan message. And it's been going great, actually, all in all. We had quite some events here in South Florida besides at Hippocrates. We're doing 2 events there every week. And then we just had a beautiful retreat. It's going on this whole week, actually, from Sunday until next Sunday, I guess, for 7 days. And it's in West Palm Beach. It's near West Palm Beach in Loxahatchee. And we were there on Tuesday night giving a concert and a talk promoting vegan living. It was really beautiful. They had this an amazing place with domes, beautiful brand new domes, a couple that owns 5 acres of land, and they have really created a farm there that's all organic. It's veganic. They make, I guess, quite a bit of income on a mushroom operation, which is really, really professional. I mean, they've got multiple buildings where they're temperature controlled, growing massive amounts of mushrooms. And it's really down to an art and a science how they do it, as well as they have regular beds where they're growing eggplants and zucchinis and tomatoes and endless greens of all kinds that are sold at 5 local farmers markets, I guess. And so it's great to see vegans who are just doing something to grow food that's healthy and organic. And not only that, but have created a retreat center. And I told the man who owns it, Jonathan, that we may like to rent it at some point to put on a World Peace Diet retreat. Why not? That'd be fun. It's a beautiful place. But anyway, that's where we were recently, and there's been quite a few other events. I can maybe talk about it later, but besides the events at Hippocrates. So, but we'd like to go ahead and jump right into our meditation time. So it looks like people have more or less joined. So our dear friend Kathy Christian sent me a message saying that she was just reading the Daily Word from Unity, which is something that Madeline and I, yeah, she's holding it up there, think is great, actually. I mean, it's, you know, we've been working through Unity churches now for 40 years, and we'll be going to quite a few Unity churches here in Florida, and then on our way back, also Unitarian churches. But the Unity was founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, and they were really vegans back, you know, back in the 100, over 100 years ago, before the word vegan was invented. And that has been somewhat lost, but there are still ministers and churches within Unity that are promoting veganism, especially Shad Groveland in Kansas City, but others as well. So the Daily Word is something that Unity is famous for. It's a daily prayer and affirmation, and with a scripture reading. So yes, go ahead, Kathy, please go ahead and read that just to get started, and then we'll go into our meditation time. So thanks so much for this suggestion. Wonderful.
Thank you. I attended Unity in the 20s and I've been subscribing to this ever since then, but today's was particularly meaningful to me because I've been in a real deep, dark night of the soul for some years. And it just seems like several things have happened in the past month or two that are helping to treat the PTSD and bring me out of it. And this just is one more thing. And the title of it is Divine Order. My life is unfolding in perfect order. The chaos that can result from unsettling developments may prompt me to pray for divine order. When this happens, I remember order is a spiritual truth that I can claim for my life, not something that I need to hope or pray for. Understanding this, I pray and claim the divine idea of order. I relax into the truth that order begins in my own mind. I align my thinking with this truth and not with my immediate worldly circumstances. As the idea of order fills my consciousness, I feel clarity about what needs to be done. I can appreciate how certain things need to fall into place before I can realize my desired result. My life is in divine order, and I am grateful. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order, listen to my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And that's from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Thank you for letting me read that, Will.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Kathy. All right. So bless you. Bless everyone. I'm not accompanying myself on the piano again. I'm getting used to it here, but I still would rather be able to do that. So let's go ahead and have our time of meditation now. Feel free to just relax into this present moment. Let's turn our attention within as we take a little while here, a few minutes, a few moments to remember the deeper truths of being, that what we are is not merely a material object that was born and will die. That what we are is infinite and eternal consciousness, and that we are connected with all expressions of life, of consciousness. There's one life living through all of us. There's one love that manifests as all the universes. And we take a moment now to give thanks for this precious opportunity of a human life that we have, this opportunity to awaken ever more fully and deeply and authentically to our true nature. We give thanks for each other and for the freedoms that we have to express ourselves through words and through actions, to help others, to share our ideas, to help contribute to a world of kindness and respect for all living beings. And so let's take a moment and give a special thanks now to this beautiful planet that we're part of, where we are every moment sustained by this earth and all that the earth represents, the infinite nurturing power that supports all life here. And we see now the earth and its beauty, and her beauty, and his beauty, however we like to conceive of the presence of the life that manifests as the earth, this planet, and all of the living beings here, especially besides the human family, the animals. Let's give thanks especially now to all of the expressions of life that we refer to as animals. All of the birds of the sky and the beings of the air, the butterflies and the humming birds and the bees and all the different sky beings, all the beings of the waters, all the whales and dolphins and fishes and octopuses and all the different sea creatures, all the animals of the earth. And especially, of course, we send our love and our apologies to all the beings who are being exploited by human activities for food, for entertainment, for products of any kind, for medications, for research, so-called, taking time to send them our love and appreciation for the example that they share of their beauty and their intuitive wisdom. And feeling our connection with the whole web of life here, this infinite mandala, Indra's web, vast infinite web of being. Every node has a jewel. Every jewel is the being or an event. And if we look deeply into any being or any event, we see within that being and within that event, every other being and every other event of all time and all place. Everything contains everything. So abiding in the awareness of the infinite interconnectedness of all life, giving thanks for the opportunity that we have this morning, getting up, and tomorrow morning, if we are so blessed again to get up, that we'll be able to continue our adventure, the great adventure of a human life, knowing that every challenge that we face is an opportunity to resolve and learn and grow and mature and evolve to a higher level, to embrace more fully the wisdom which is our true nature, and to respond with ever greater intuitive awareness to the challenges that are called forth by our experience here, that we relish these challenges as the opportunity that we have to unfold more and more the beauty and understanding that are inherent within the being that we are, for the benefit not only of ourselves and those close to us, but for all living beings. And we give thanks for what we heard earlier, the order that may not be seen. Maybe it appears to us as chaos, or as disorder, or as unnecessary suffering. And so we breathe into that awareness, into the feeling of resistance that we maybe have to what we're aware of, and open to a higher knowing that sees a bigger picture. That everything has a deeper aspect, that there is another level of awareness, a spiritual dimension, which is where consciousness that is infinite and eternal is always residing, and that is our true nature. So we realize that very often what seems to be real is actually a counterfeit. It's not the actual reality. Maybe a apparent reality. So we allow ourselves to open to the possibility that we can raise our awareness to a higher vibratory frequency, where we see with greater wisdom and compassion the deeper realities and contribute to the healing of our world through loving kindness and awareness that is no longer deceived by the appearances that are constantly paraded before our vision, that we are no longer deceived by the delusions that seem so real. And we give thanks for the capacity of discernment that discerns the difference and discriminates the difference between the real and what is not real. And now finally we enter into our heart and feel that from the very ground of being underneath us in the earth, there's this beautiful, warm, golden light that's coming up through the soles of our feet, up through the ankles and shins and calves and knees and legs, and into our pelvic region, into our hips. And this warm golden light is rising up as an energy of healing and vitality and cleansing. And this warm golden light just rises all the way up through our abdomen and lower back, up through all of our organs and lungs and heart, up into our shoulders, filling us up with this warm golden light of vitality, joy and freedom, wisdom and love, down our arms, elbows, wrists, fingers, filling up our hands and streaming out of our hands and up through our neck, into our head, and just filling every dimension of our physical body through our eyes, ears, and nose and sinuses, and streaming up through the top of our head. So it's just cascading all around us. We're bathing in this warm golden light. Light of joy and freedom and abundance and awareness, creativity, harmony and peace. And then now from far above us, the very heart of the universe, a window opens, a portal, and a beautiful white light comes down through the crown of our head, all the way right down into the very core of our being, in our heart, and down into what's called the Dantian, the area just below our navel, very center of our being. And this white light just swirls together with the golden light, exploding into stars of golden and white flakes of joy and freedom, filling every cell of our being, that what we are is eternal life. We just abide in this awareness, sending love to all of the beings in the world, to all the animals who may be confined in research laboratories, in factory farms. We send our love to all living beings, those who are suffering in wars and other difficulties with disease or other problems. In all directions, above us, below us, and all around, and radiating this golden white light in four aspects. So we send it out now as love, kindness, and benevolence, with every exhalation just radiating this light of loving kindness in all directions, filling the whole world with the truth of love and benevolence. Our entire world, all of our relations, just feeling in our heart that every being who is in our world, whoever it is, we send forth love and benevolence. We exclude no one, as the sun excludes no one. Breathing and radiating loving kindness, abiding in love, beautiful. And now with every inhalation, we engender in our heart the feeling of compassion and the yearning that others be free from suffering and all the causes of suffering, and the yearning to act to help relieve their suffering, the great compassion. And with every exhalation, we allow this feeling of compassion to radiate from our heart, filling the whole world with the light of compassion. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, the delusion that causes suffering. Abiding in compassion, the highest form of love and caring. Now with every inhalation, we engender in our heart the feeling of joy, the great joy of our true nature. The infinite being that we are needs no reasons in the outer world to abide in a state of joy and gratitude. So with every exhalation, we radiate the truth of joy. It just comes overflowing out of our heart in ever-expanding spheres of light, radiating joy into the infinite web of relations. May all beings reconnect with the truth of the infinite joy of their true nature, joy of being, breathing and radiating joy and abiding in joy with every breath. And finally, now we connect with the truth of our original nature of peace and harmony. With every inhalation, engendering peace, the very core of our being and our heart, in every cell of our being, we are at peace. A peace that nothing at all can ever disturb in the outer world. That nothing in our inner world can ever disturb. We are at peace. Our true nature. And so with every exhalation, we radiate peace in every direction. Ever-expanding spheres of light, filling the whole world with the truth, of peace and harmony, of tranquility, knowing that whatever the outer appearance may be, that underlying everything is the great peace in which we abide eternally. Nothing that we ever do can ever sever us from the blessing, the original blessing that is our true nature. And we rest in the peace of knowing and understanding our oneness with the infinite love that is the source of all life. What we can call the divine order that is absolutely unstoppable and pervades all creation. We see the whole earth now bathe in the light of peace and harmony, beautiful blue, magnificent being of light. And so now we begin to come back to our group here together, abiding at peace with the true nature of our original home, established in our heart of loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace. Breathing and radiating love, compassion, joy, and peace. And abiding always in loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace. And we give thanks, finally, knowing that as we go forth from our time together on this meeting that we're having on the 6th day of February, 2025, as we go forth into our lives, every day we are more and more firmly and deeply and authentically connecting with the truth of our being, which is freedom, and that this freedom brings us into the beauty that is ever present. And the beauty brings us back to the love, which is the source of all life. So thank you all for joining in our meditation time. We give thanks for the intuitive wisdom that guides us every day to unfold our lives in the unique way that they're unfolding. And we come back now to our time together in the cyber reality, I guess they call this, in Zoom. So thanks again, everyone, for your contributions to the vegan movement of awakening. It's, you know, the underlying idea here on our first Thursday meditation is that it's really this foundation of what we refer to as veganism, which is basically, it says my internet connection is unstable, so I'm hoping you can hear me okay, that this foundation is what we refer to as vegan living, which is ahimsa, or nonviolence. It's basically the attempt, the doing the best we can that our outer lives mirror the inner truth that we yearn to unfold or to manifest, which is the wisdom that loves all of creation, that understands that all life is interconnected, and that we have a unique part to play in this whole thing, in this what appears to be our life. So there's always, in a lot of these spiritual traditions, there's this emphasis on sometimes going to the point where we depart from our body and looking back at the several decades that we've had here on what we think is planet Earth, and evaluating our efforts. How did we really actually achieve what we were hoping to achieve when we took birth, and to what degree are we on track of that? And I think every day it's important to kind of, for me anyway, to kind of remember that, because we are, I think, in many ways immersed in a social patterning system that is very good at distracting us away from our souls or our inner beings, purpose and journey, and having us kind of get lost in the weeds in many cases of pressures and challenges that we're facing during daily life. But that's part of it. I think, you know, what we go through, that's all part of the weights in the gymnasium of the earth school. So, thanks again. I'm glad that we're together. We have a few more minutes, another roughly 30 minutes, to share any questions, comments, concerns, joys, sorrows, trials, triumphs, tribulations that you may be experiencing, any questions you'd like to have addressed, or any anything you'd like to bring up. Because this is really not just my time to share my thoughts and feelings, but also yours if you're here. And it's definitely a good time to do that. There's quite a lot that's been happening over the last couple of weeks since our third Thursday. And for those of you who only come to the first Thursday, it's been a whole month. So I remember toward the end of January, there were people making these memes about, wow, that month of January seemed like it was about 5 years long. You know, so much happened. There was such an outpouring of all kinds of governmental actions and reactions and all kinds of people loving it and hating it and fighting with each other and all these things happening. But underneath all of that, I think there's a spiritual movement that's happening and a birth that's trying to happen also. So we'll see. But anyway, yes, Gino, you have raised your hand, and let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah, thank you. I posted something this morning, which I now see that you have seen, Will, on Facebook. And what I did, I was looking for a link to tonight's meeting and all the various places that World Peace Diet is. You've got all these groups, and then your name and Dr. Will Tuttle and all these. Anyway, I think it might have been the World Peace Diet facilitators page. The profile picture is a quote by you, and it says, "There is no way to overstate the magnitude of the collective spiritual transformation that will occur when we shift from food of violent oppression to food of gentleness and compassion." It's a beautiful quote. So I put that as for my post, and then I wrote something which I know you have seen, but I'd like to read it for the others. I wrote, imagine animal cruelty gone, humans respecting one another, respecting Earth's resources, eliminating wars of all kinds, and embracing our differences. The book, The World Peace Diet by Dr. Will Tuttle, supports this vision. Please read it and his other books. Animal liberation activists should especially read this so we can work together much more cohesively. Thinking our egos, beliefs, and the material world are the answers is far from the truth. Our world is abundant. We can have it all goodness, if we choose so. Work on this each day in the midst of standing up for freedom for us and for our other animal friends.
Ah, beautiful.
There it is. Thank you. Yeah. And I posted it on my page and then on the San Diego Vegans page, which is more about food, and then San Diego Vegan Activists. I did get a few people to react on my page, but nothing on the vegan pages, which doesn't surprise me because it's not part of their consciousness. And I thought, you know, what can I start doing to get people to do that? We can keep saying, you know, you have to do the inner work. You have to be responsible. And then we can say, but people don't want to do that. They don't have the courage, blah, blah. But the same conversation goes on and on. So I try to state it in another way with the support of your profile picture and thought, well, maybe this might be a tact for people to look at it. See, am I living in a world of just materialism and ego and beliefs? Is that what I'm all about? You know, that kind of thing. So I gave it a try.
Yes. Well, thank you. You know, you're planting seeds, and I think that's it. And we let our, like, as you're doing, let our intuition nudge us in the ways that we feel would be the best way to do that. And people are on different stages of awakening, I think, or in understanding these things. And some people won't resonate. They'll go, what the heck's that guy talking about? You know, we need to get out there and stop these people from what they're doing. And other people maybe are ready to hear it. And I think, you know, we also, like you say, I think in that, to have a united movement, but not a unity where we all have to think the same thing, you know, a unity where we think a lot of different things, but we mm-hmm. see that underneath the diversity, there is a deeper unity. And I think that's the problem. Very often we think we want everybody to think the same thing and all agree to the same tactic and the same philosophy. And yet as vegans in general, we're people who question the official narrative, so we start questioning each other all the time too. So it's essential, I think, that we just embrace the diversity. That's the basic thing, I think. And
yeah, that's beautifully said, Will. Yeah, I just want to add that you know, as soon as you add the word spiritual in anything, it could be one word among 500 words. They tune into that right away, and so many activists are anti-religious, so they think that spiritual means religious. So we all have to be Buddhists, we have to be Christians, you know, all that. And that's not what we're saying when you're saying spiritual. It's not that, that's the consciousness we're talking about. But yeah, again, you say everybody is in a different part of the chapter.
Right, yeah, I think this indoctrination into sort of hating religion and spirituality. I mean, I think I understand why a lot of people. I was the same way in a certain way. I thought, oh gosh, the established religions—they're all slaughtering animals, and most of these people are not questioning it, and so we don't want to have anything to do with that. But fortunately, I think there's a deeper movement going on where we realize that actually the religions of the world in many ways have been some of the most powerful forces in converting people to vegan living. And I think, you know, I just got an email, for example, from the Vegan Society in London. And they said that there's a Buddhist, big Buddhist holiday coming up in a month or so. And they wanted to, they asked me to write an article that will be posted on the Vegan Society's website on Buddhism and veganism. And I thought that was great. You know, they really want to meet it. They wanted me, I guess, they thought I'd be the best person to do that. And one of the main points I will make when I write the article is that so many people who are anti-religious got their vegan boost, probably, if you trace it back, from one of the religious teachers who brought that in. You know, because like when you look at just as one example, Buddhism is just one of the religions. But when the Buddha lived in India, you know, 2,500 years ago, part of his teaching was compassion for animals and not eating them, and that really changed the Indian society profoundly. It was him and his monks, and then about 300-400 years later, one of his who became one of, you know, a Buddhist, famous Buddhist, Ashoka, and he became the king of India, most of India. He conquered most of what is today India, and then he became he converted to Buddhism, and he just really spread vegetarianism like everywhere. That's really why India is basically been vegetarian ever since. It was because the old Brahmins, they were sacrificing animals all the time. They didn't have any problem with that. And it was really the Buddhist movement was a reform movement of that, and on a number of levels, you know, against the caste system and against the eating of animals and the oppression of animals and so forth. And then it spread from there to China, for example. And in China, they never did dairy, so it really was vegan. And we had this whole movement in Asia, China, Korea, Japan, Vietnam, Southeast Asia. And these people wrote books. They influenced people. They influenced Thoreau. and Emerson, and then we had this whole vegan vegetarian movement actually in Concord, Massachusetts back in the 1800s that really came out of Buddhism and to some degree maybe Jainism and Hinduism, which were all affected. They were all interacting with each other. And then those threads that affected Martin Luther King, and you know, his wife became a vegan, you know, and a lot of people were inspired by her. And then like the farm in Tennessee, you know, they were all vegan. They were inspired by Suzuki Roshi, who was a Zen Buddhist. So he got up, you know, and then people were inspired by the farm. They didn't know anything about religion or anything, but they went, and then I wrote the World Peace Diet. I was inspired by that. You know, people were, I mean, all these things are crisscrossing, and you, in many cases, you lose the original inspiration, but pretty much always it was someone who had a spiritual breakthrough and started a religion based on that spiritual breakthrough. And very often the religion itself sort of diluted it and went away from it. You can see very clearly, like if you watch the movie Christspiracy and what I wrote in the World Peace Diet also, that the original Christians were basically what we would call vegetarians or even vegans. And the people that wrote about them said that they didn't eat meat, right? That was well understood about them. And so this whole thing has been subterraneously crisscrossing culturally through art, through music, through teachings. Very often there we don't see the connections. But the thing we have to understand is that these traditions, and there's some also in the Islamic tradition, the Judaic tradition, the shamanic tradition, the Taoist Confucian tradition, all these religions and spiritual traditions have compassion for animals in them. They all do, because that spirituality is very clear that that's part of it. And the thing is that animal agriculture itself has its own set of narratives, and it's profoundly anti-spiritual and profoundly anti-authentic religion, and it's profoundly pro-materialism, and it has infiltrated academia on a massive scale. It's infiltrated the media on a massive scale, and the medical industry on a massive scale. The narrative of animal agriculture, of materialism, has really infiltrated everything. And so people, especially younger people, are, I think, very much wounded by this. Their minds have been so saturated with this idea that religion and spirituality are bad. But I think that's because we live in a society that's organized around animal agriculture, which is basically satanic. I mean, if there's anything is satanic, it's animal agriculture. You're actually harming other beings unnecessarily, right? I mean, that's for your own pleasure, right? I mean, it's like, no, that's the definition of demonic, fiendish behavior. The whole idea is we have empathy, we have compassion, we know what it is to suffer, we don't cause others to suffer. We have whole justice systems in place based on that intuition that we all have. And yet animal agriculture just destroys and breaks and ignores all of that and forces us all essentially to behave that way by eating that way every day. And so it's completely infiltrated. And so the religions really, to me, are precious because they all have the golden rule in them. Every single religion teaches the golden rule, which is if there's anything that's pro-vegan, that's it. Don't do to others what you wouldn't have done to yourself. I mean, you can't get more the essence of veganism, and that's in every religion. So I really think it's time for the vegan movement to awaken out of this woundedness, to heal this woundedness of the materialism of animal agriculture, and sort of proudly embracing materialism like that's some kind of a good thing. That's a complete delusion. If I'm under the delusion that I'm just a material object that was born and will die, that's a philosophy that has been constructed for us, and it's a philosophy for slaves. If you want to enslave people, you have them think that. As soon as people realize that we are manifestations of one life and we are infinite and eternal consciousness, which we can actually experience that in meditation, if we quiet our mind enough and we're not thinking and we just connect with pure consciousness, then we get out of the delusion of being this body. And then we realize what's going on here. And the whole idea is if you want to enslave humanity, you don't let people do that. You keep them so busy and so distracted and so divided and so attacking each other all the time that they never have time or inclination to even look in that direction. And the vegan movement, which is based on pure spirituality, that there's one life living, we have compassion for animals, we live that way, there's no reason for us not to embrace spirituality and see that that's what veganism actually is. And so I think there's this huge missing piece here that is really reducing our effectiveness enormously and causing us to fritter away the opportunity that we have. But of course, the spiritual teachings say, you know, sooner or later, you know, there's a lot of time. We have plenty of time. We have, you know, thousands of kalpas can go by till we finally figure this out. And so might as well get with the program here and understand this, but to just see this. So my book, if you've maybe read Food or part of Food for Freedom, I go into this more in depth, but I think this is something that's really so helpful to see the jewels of truth that are in the world religions and how they are precious. And yeah, they have some things that aren't so clear, but the basic thrust of the teaching is clearly kindness and compassion for all of God's creation, right? Or if it's a Buddhist, it's like all interconnected beings. I mean, it's the same basic understanding that is achieved when our mind gets out of the brambles of this materialistic conditioning and we start to see our true nature. It's a tremendous joy and abundance and freedom and kindness and compassion and respect that naturally dawns in our consciousness. So that's the hallmark of vegan. That's where veganism came out of. So if we don't actually awaken to that in ourselves, in a way, we're not really vegans. We're kind of talking about it, but so many people who say they're vegans, 10 or 20 years later, they're not anymore. For some reason, they go off and start eating animal foods again or whatever. So I think we need the spiritual component to really bring it into a place where we're not going to forsake it, actually. Anyway, thanks for bringing that up so well. Danny, you have your hand up, and if anyone else would like to say something, please raise your hand or just you can unmute also. Yes, go ahead, Danny.
Hi, there. Thank you. So I'm working with my parts, traumatized parts, and all defense mechanisms and stuff like that. And one of my parts had a question for you because we experience a lot of mind chatter, and it gets very chaotic at time and reactive. And the part wants to know what you suggest as a way to get past, to connect beyond the conditioned belief systems that are held in, let's say, traumatized parts. Thank you.
Well, yeah, that, you know, I hope this comes through. I keep getting this note and it says your internet connection is unstable, so I'm hoping you can hear me. Personally, in this lifetime, as far as I'm aware, I've been pretty blessed. I've experienced maybe some minor trauma, but I know people have experienced much more severe trauma than I have. I had really quite loving parents, and upbringing for the most part was pretty wonderful. And from my point of view, and I've been able to talk to lots of people over the years and lived in meditation centers and known lots of different people. Many of them did have pretty traumatic pasts. And the teaching seems to be pretty universal that cultivating, working with our mind, you know, our mind basically is very resilient. Our true nature is infinitely resilient, but our mind can be wounded through, like you say, through trauma when we're young or at any point. And because of that, very often we try to escape into all kinds of distractions or things that are just counterproductive. The underlying idea, of course, is that animal agriculture as a system is a system of massive trauma, right? It's just inflicting trauma on animals And then it's creating an underlying psychology of trauma where you have workers that are stabbing animals and doing horrible things to them. And then it's, and you need more land. So you have war, you have disease, you have, it's just trauma. It's just spreading trauma. So a lot of people in our society do have been wounded by trauma, because animal agriculture is all about that. That's really the core of it. So what we're trying to do with the vegan movement is heal the trauma and go to the root of it, which is animal agriculture, and stop inflicting trauma on these millions of animals, hyper-confining them and abusing them and so forth. And but we have to also work with ourselves and our own inner our own consciousness. And my basic thing is always comes back to the word practice. We can practice. And I think that that's, to me, is really the most important aspect of living, is if we can, because the life that we live is basically the life of our practice. How are we practicing? And I think it can be more challenging for people who have more difficult, have a more apparently more difficult past, but very often there's many examples of this. I mean, there's so many examples in the literature of people who were very traumatized, who had great awakenings and became great teachers. But in pretty much all these cases, they had to practice. They had to work with their consciousness. And I've used the example on this call before of a piano. Like I wanted to play the piano, and my father, he was really good, and he said, "You can play like me if you practice." And I see the mind in many ways like a piano. It's, you can, if you don't practice with the piano, when you sit down, you just bang on the keys, right? And that's what happens. Most of us are raised in a family where we're not taught, in a society where we're not taught to work in a healthy way with our mind and our consciousness. We're not taught to bring our mind back to the present moment every day for an hour, right? Every day for an hour, just, or 2 hours. I mean, I've spent a lot of my life, when in my 20s, I was probably averaging, 5 to 10 hours a day, just sitting and bringing my mind back to the present moment. And when it would go somewhere else, I'd bring it back. I just really wanted to attain enlightenment, right? I mean, to get free of the delusion that my mind keeps throwing up all the time of making me afraid and angry and jealous and whatever it is. It's really the false self that the mind keeps generating. So when we bring our mind back to the present moment and just cultivate awareness, being aware of what's arising, and just do that no matter what, like brushing the teeth every day. I do this every day when I wake up for an hour, just watch the mind. And with time, we begin to befriend ourselves. We begin to feel into what it's like. We see how our mind maybe goes back to all these things that happened, and we wish we could have done this to them, and we, whatever it is, but just keep working with it. And then connect with the intuition that comes, our inner wisdom, which I think will then lead us to whatever unique kind of therapy or maybe a deeper thing that we're called to help with that. And that, that's something that, people have found all kinds of things that they found to be helpful. Some people have found, like, just spending 15 minutes a day in really cold water. I mean, I've seen these videos of these people who had really severe psychological problems that just solved it by being in cold water. Other people have found certain, plant medicines have been helpful. Other people have found meditation. But I think, the basic thing is that there is within us this crystal clear, beautiful clarity of the diamond of our true nature that is never damaged. It's never damaged. It's completely undamageable. And the whole idea is for us to find our way back to that. That's our true nature, to come home. We think we're not that, right? We think we're we think we're something else. And that's not true. I mean, just work with this question. Like, if I'm not this body, what do I look like? Right? If you're not this body and this mind and this collection, what are we? What are you? What are you actually? What are you if you're not this body? To really understand that. Try to understand that. Try to really understand what you are if you're not this body, this physical body that we're taught to identify with this thing that we know is going to die. and get sick and everything else. But if we're not that, what are we? That, you know, to really, really discover it, because no one can do it for anyone else. You know, no one can do it for anyone else. That this, it's an intensely individual affair. And we're each other's teachers in many ways, and we can be an example. We can say, you know, I'm something, but essentially we're thrown into this world, and that's the question. What are we?
And that's wonderful. Thank you. Thin,
then, you know, we're in trouble, but yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just wanted to thank you for that. That was helpful.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sammy. Yeah, Danny. Anyone else? Let's see, we don't have any more time. Really, it's been a really long day for us. Madeline had like quite a few hours. She had to have a root canal done. And this dentist has been doing these for decades. And he said this is the first time he started a root canal, and after 4 hours, it's still not finished. He still just got these different canals. I guess, you know, it's a molar with, I guess, three different canals, and they're so calcified he couldn't. So we have to go back again in a couple of weeks to finish it up. And she also had four teeth pulled, and she had all these other things. So but it's actually really good. She's getting, when she was 5 or 6 years old, she didn't have good nutrition, and she's had kind of difficulty with her teeth. So but I was in there the whole time, like holding her hand and caressing her leg, and and he was a great dentist, really. But it's, like I say, it's been a kind of a long day. So I'm really grateful that I have fantastic teeth. I don't have to worry about all that. But we all have our unique challenges in this life, and that's usually the place where we learn and grow, is in the unique challenge that we have, or basket of unique challenges, perhaps, whatever it is. And through that, we learn and we develop our compassion and our insight and our wisdom, and then we can hopefully share that with each other. So I want to thank all. Does anyone have anything else? I apologize, the time went by so ridiculously fast, but anything else anyone wants to add? We have like 1 minute left if anyone wants to throw something out. Otherwise, we can say our prayer, which is always wonderful to do, a great way to end. Madeline won't join us today. I think she's resting in the van. We're parked on the lawn of my sister's house here, and it's very warm, but it's beautiful, so and we're glad to be here. So we're good. Good to see, it's so good to see you all, and I know that as soon as we hang up here and we go our apparently separate ways, we're not really separate. We are connected. And if any time along the way you have any questions or comments or concerns, just let us know. I'd love to be in touch. And also, the good news is I just, like 5 minutes before we got on this call, I got the email that I've been waiting for from Amazon that the Will Tuttle narrated version of Food for Freedom has been approved by Amazon. It's being released on Amazon, Audible, and iTunes, and from there, all the other platforms. It is on, I put it up on our website, worldpeacediet.com, but now it's going to be out there in the big world. And so that was good, because I wasn't sure if it was actually going to be, it has to go through all their quality control checks and everything. So that's good. So that was a huge work. I think I told you I did about 28,000 edits on that 13-hour thing. So now I'm going to.
Congratulations, Will.
Thank you. I know. I was looking at software, the Adobe Audition, just cutting and pasting. And so now I'm going to start on the World Peace Way. And then we'll do your inner islands, which I never did as an audiobook either. I just didn't want to edit them, but now I know I can do it. Oh, here's Madeline. Woohoo! I just told them you're not going to be here, but here she is.
Hi, Madeline. Bless your heart. Sorry you went through all that.
I'm sitting on the bed in the guest room at my sister's house, but I've had a wonderful meeting. Judy's here. Everybody's here. Fred, Kathy, Nancy, Aradhana, all these wonderful angels, Christina, Keith, Danny, thank you all so much for joining us. Margie, so good to see you. Yeah, so we'll be, you can see where we're going to be if you go to our website. We have events all over the place in Florida, and then we'll be heading back on the southern route. And so we'll see you all on the third Thursday, or most of you. And let's go ahead now and have our closing prayer. We have for the prayer circle for animals together. Compassion, concern, circles the earth, all beings,
everywhere.
Yay, again. Compassion encircles the earth, all beings,
everywhere.
Here's Michael. Compassion encircles the earth, all beings, everywhere. We love you. Thank you, everyone, so
love
much.
Love you. Thank you.
For the shine of vegan
we
life in the world.
So much.
May all be free. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Yay.
You.
Good
much
night.
Love.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye
bye.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Much love.